to the hip hop, the hibbit of a hip hip hopper. You don't stop. Rap, 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 rap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big Sharkle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the Sharkle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's 8:39 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. And so in studio with me, I have a couple of friends. Jeremy Evans, who has been many times on the wrap and filled in for me and does great work, and he is with us. Jeremy, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Good to see you.
And you as well. And I got to give you the thing I borrowed from you. Will forget if you don't remind me.
I will.
I had wanted to read Mouse, the graphic novel about the Holocaust. And I had part one, and I didn't realize there were two parts, so I got done with one. I'm like, And so I was asking, and he happened to have, so I brought, and it's fantastic. It's horrible. But it's really, really good at, you know, representing the Holocaust. Dee Dee Davis, also a repeat offender here on the wrap. She is the owner of NAI Pensacola, former, former teacher, former state representative, former architect of the Pensacola City Charter, along with her good friend, Crystal Spencer. Dee Dee, welcome back.
Thank you. Always good to be here.
Always good to have you. So first thing, let's start with this. The big news, of course, for us this week was that Governor DeSantis is finally presidential candidate DeSantis. He actually took the FL out of his Twitter handle. It's now just, you know, at Ron DeSantis instead of at Ron DeSantis FL. Same for Casey. Same thing. So let's start with you, Jeremy, as a guy who's pretty involved in the Republican Party here locally and, you know, statewide. Your thoughts about the rollout, the 1 hour conversation, the Twitter botching, the Trump versus DeSantis of it all, your thoughts?
So I think this is the beginning of what's going to be, like I've kind of called it, the most intense kind of spring football game the Republican Party has ever had as you talk to Trump and DeSantis. And there's a lot of things that I think people have overlooked in the DeSantis rollout. Was the Twitter conversation exactly the way he wanted it to? No. But look at his endorsements list in Iowa and New Hampshire. That's where he has focused all of his time and his energy getting ready.
Say more about that, because I read about this yesterday, and it's interesting because, I mean, tell people, like, because they don't take for granted. The early primary and caucus states.
It's going to be, I think January, you've got Iowa. February, you have New Hampshire. Iowa is its own weird caucus structure. New Hampshire is a very small state primary. And Governor DeSantis has very strong endorsements in state legislatures, counties, and it is campaigning on the smallest level. You know, I think it's tradition. It's probably a tradition that needs to go because Iowa and New Hampshire weed out so many candidates and they're very, very, very unique campaign primary styles. But the Governor DeSantis and his team have really focused in on that. I think President Trump has been throwing haymakers at DeSantis for months now. It'll be interesting to see how hard Governor DeSantis did a little bit yesterday back at President Trump.
Right, right.
It'll
for
be
the
interesting
first time.
To see for the first time. It'll be interesting to see how that continues to happen. You know, and then we have kind of split allegiances here. Our Congressman Matt Gaetz is obviously one of Donald Trump's top lieutenants, and then I'm pretty sure that I saw both Broxson, Andrade.
And Michelle Salzman.
And Salzman all siding with the governor in the situation. And so I think it's going to be – and then the other part of this that's going to be all new is none of these conversations, none of this political conversations, none of it's going to happen on the Sunday morning talk shows. It's all going to happen on the new media that most people haven't heard of this show or that show or whatever because it's all the new media because, you know, the mainstream media nobody trusts. And so it'll be very interesting to see how the campaigning happens because they're all going to be talking and presenting ideas via the new media versus
that's a
the
great
traditional
point.
Media. And so it's going to be a whole new campaign, whole new way of doing things. And just from the political scientist point of view, it's going to be very interesting to watch.
I'm very curious to see what the size of the rallies are for both of them.
Yeah.
Especially when they're kind of against each other right now. Dee Dee, now you're a registered Democrat, right?
I am.
Which, by the way, we'll get to this later, but and we're still friends. and I think you're a fantastic contributor to the show and to the charter conversations and everything else. I love having you on because you know so much. So I take the opposite view from Commissioner James Caulkins. We'll get to that later. But as a Democrat, what do you see of this?
Well, first of all, I didn't think that his announcement was the biggest news of the week. I thought that the biggest news yesterday was Tina Turner's passing.
Okay, fair enough.
I was far more interested in all of the tributes and everything that were paid to her than to the governor who had the longest announcement rollout possibly in the history of announcements. I'm not really sure.
Especially if you count the time when it wasn't happening yet.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm not really sure. Yeah, he's raising a ton of money, and his numbers are like still, you know, pretty much in the toilet at this point. But I, you know, you can't underestimate him. By he's a very smart guy. I wouldn't be one bit surprised, you know, watching the fur fly between Trump and DeSantis if they didn't kiss and make up and make a team. And I don't think DeSantis can win without him. And I just wouldn't be one bit surprised if we didn't see them team up.
Well, the problem, like, constitutionally, is they can't both be on the ticket together, both being Florida residents. So we've got that challenge. So what would a team look like, you know, exactly? But I'm with you. There's a weird sense, like, the only happy ending here would be somehow a partnership. But it's hard to see that how that could happen at this point. Because I'm with you, Jeremy. Even for about a month now, Trump has been like every word out of his keyboard has been how stupid, incompetent, terrible, whatever DeSantis is. It's like I get 8 emails a day from his campaign about him. And I really wonder about the plausibility of winning in the primary system. I want to talk about that when we come back, but I do need to get a quick traffic on the fives from Candy.
This is brought to you by Coastal Machinery, and it looks like the delays that we're seeing, we're still watching that disabled 18-wheeler on the west side of the hump westbound on the I-10 bridge. That right lane is closed, still moving, just moving very slow, and traffic light out, and we're getting word that that whole area doesn't have power. That's at Fairfield and Gulf Beach Highway. That's brought to you by Coastal Machinery Company with over 40 years in the business, locations in Pensacola and Crestview. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So my take on the general election is I don't think there's any chance Trump can beat Biden, and I don't think there's any chance that Biden can beat DeSantis. So I'm favoring DeSantis because I want to win the general election and because, I prefer him. But I don't see how he wins the primary either, because all Trump has to do is get a plurality large enough. And if you've got 10 other or 15 other candidates in the field, I don't see how DeSantis gets to, you know, Trump plus anything. And that's the challenge I have believing in the wisdom of all of this. At this point, Jeremy?
So the first thing I'd say is when people were sitting in rooms similar to this one in 2015, it was pretty obvious Jeb Bush was going to win the presidential nomination
that's fair.
In 2016.
That's fair.
And Donald Trump was barely a blip on the radar at this point in the cycle. With that being said, we're in a different political environment, and I think that the reason why Governor DeSantis is investing so heavily in Iowa and New Hampshire is, let's say he wins one of those two states, and then he gets more, you get those momentum in those early states, and somebody can catch fire, and you come out ahead in one of those two things, you can kind of come out of nowhere. Not necessarily out of nowhere, but Hillary Clinton was going to obviously win over Barack Obama.
Right.
And that didn't happen because of early performance, and then people see what they're going to get. And I think that there are a large portion of voters. There's nobody who's indifferent on Donald Trump.
Right.
Everybody
has
a definite opinion on Donald Trump. There are lots of people outside of the state of Florida who don't necessarily know Ron DeSantis to have an opinion on him yet.
Right.
So how does he take that money and how does he utilize it to do what he's going to try to do with it? And then who knows what happens with Tim Scott? Who knows what happens with
Nikki Haley, Asa Hutchinson,
Chris Sununu,
Vivek Ramaswamy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who know? Like, you have a pretty good idea of what's going to happen with those guys, but there's people like Pete Buttigieg who got the limelight for a second, couldn't capitalize on it. So you never really know what's going to happen. And to say that it's Trump versus DeSantis may be slightly premature.
Yeah, right.
But that looks like that would be your betting favorite moving forward and what happens.
Didi, again,
Money talks. And if he's really raising that kind of money in 24 hours after an announcement, you cannot underestimate the power that that carries.
Yeah, that's fair. And a lot of these hedge fund guys, and you've seen them come out and say that we supported Trump last time and we're not supporting him this time around. So a long time to go between now and then. I'm just kind of curious. I'm very curious, obviously, how this all shakes out. I mentioned it a moment ago, but yesterday we had one of these kind of moments with James Calkins, the commissioner in Santa Rosa County, where he came out against an appointment to the Marine Advisory Committee from somebody who is like a marine biologist and an oyster fish woman, and he said, I will not vote for her because she's a Democrat, because Democrats are evil. Democrats are, you know, infecting and they're infiltrating every element of our society. We got to stop those Democrats. And I'm thinking, this is good. I got my good friend Dee Dee Davis, a Democrat, who's coming in here. This is crazy to me that we would get to the place where anybody would think the right answer is never anybody from the other party for any position of any kind within the local government.
I think there are plenty of people that feel that way. Absolutely. I don't think that's uncommon. I just think that he's more vocal and looks a little nutty, in my opinion. I mean, going back from the I love Russia, you know, those days in his wife's campaign for the state house, you know, he's been successful by being outrageous. And I think that, you know, he's trying to pattern himself after a Donald Trump, and he's certainly no Donald Trump. But by being outrageous, I think that he feels that that wins him support. So we'll see, you know, the electors will speak.
You know, and I guess this is fair to admit, there absolutely are people in Santa Rosa County who will hear him say that and be like, that's my guy. That's my guy. That's that. You're damn right. We're not ever putting
everywhere.
A Democrat anywhere.
And it works both ways.
Yeah, right.
It absolutely works both ways. And I, you know, that's why we always get along so well, Andrew, because I love having a conversation with someone who will sit and actually intellectually discuss an issue rather than doing like the Calkins grandstanding. You know, no Democrats ever, and you know they're so evil. Well, you know. Talk to me. What is it? What
right.
is it? You've got this really qualified biologist for this position, and because of her political registration, you would shut her down? That's just silly.
It's bizarre and silly, and yet, as you say, there are a number of people who view it that way, and again, from both sides.
And I think that elections matter, and I think that when you look at, if you had told me, can you believe what Sam Parker did yesterday at the Santa Rosa you know, county commission meeting when he was grandstanding about that issue, I would be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
You tell me it's James Calkins. I'm sure when you read it was James Calkins. It wasn't anything that was, you could see that happening in a world.
Yeah, it didn't come as a, oh, wow, how did he get out of character like that?
That's who James Calkins is. It's always who he has been. He has never not been that person. The people of Santa Rosa County chose to have him be that person. And as he continues to be that person, he is being the person he was elected as. It was not as though he was one way in a campaign and then turned into a different person. That's who James Calkins is. And if the people of Santa Rosa County voted that person in and he continues to be that person, that's who they voted into office. And
I would say it just a little different, but I agree with you. I think this is purposeful. I think he knows that he's going to get, you know, outrage, and he's going to get coverage, and Channel 3 has been running the clips all morning, and we've talked about it, and that is clearly advertising for Brand Calkins.
Yeah.
The difference is, I think, that a lot of people voted him in the first time around, either on a lark or, you know, for not really well-thought-out reasons, maybe, and they have seen what's happened since, and there's a never again will we do this kind of sentiment. And, of course, we'll find out. We'll find out in the election, you know, how strong which of those is, you know. So one of the other big things that has happened, not this week per se, but it's kind of ongoing, is the tumult in the school board with the superintendent. We're now through graduations for Escambia County. I think Santa Rosa has one tomorrow. And we just talked to Karen Barber, the superintendent, earlier this morning. But in Escambia County, good Lord. I mean, I hate to say this about my home county, but it just feels like, you know, here, carry this glass of water from the tap over to the table. And, you know, in the process, 13 people got killed with shards of glass. Like, it's like nothing can go right is how it feels with the school board.
You know, periodically, we get one of these volatile school boards.
Mm-hmm.
And God knows we have plenty of issues right now giving them fodder anyway.
Right.
The whole political climate. But to throw the baby out with the bathwater by firing the first appointed superintendent is probably one of the worst moves I've ever seen made by our school board. They're equal partners in all of this. So if they're blaming like the failure of Warrington Middle School, if they're planting that squarely on his shoulders, they've got plenty of blame in there too.
That's a 10-year problem.
They're making him a scapegoat. trying to divert the real discussion here that needs to take place. Plenty of blame to go around, but I think it was a huge mistake firing him.
See, I kind of sympathize with the people who have said, well, this is what we get when we vote for an appointed superintendent, is they're actually exerting their power. I just had a problem with the way that it was done is what I particularly didn't. There's a lot of people who wanted to see Tim Smith go. There's a lot of people who did not want to see him go. It's a very split thing.
I mean, I personally understand the sentiment that it was a problem he inherited.
Mm-hmm.
I do think there was a lot of complete leadership failures on his part. What was going on in Warrington Middle School, the possibility of the school being shut down was extended multiple times, and the fact that they got to the 11th hour without a plan.
I think they got to 1 a.m.
Yeah, I mean they got
we were past the deadline.
There was no force. When he was coming in, he knew Warrington Middle was the problem. And to be fair, the elected superintendent did not do anything, or he, his attempts to solve the Warrington Middle School problem failed.
Didn't work.
And
right.
And then Tim Smith inherited this, and it's been 3 years that he's been around with no solution. No, and then to get to 1 a.m. and not have a solution is a pretty large failure in executive leadership. And I think that when you read his, he gave like kind of an exit interview with Pensacola News Journal earlier this week, and the reasons why he talked about it didn't work are the same reasons that every school board in throughout the state of Florida are struggling with things, you know, uninvolved parents,
right,
student absenteeism, teacher shortages. And you talk to somebody at the State Board of Education, they know Warrington Middle School. They know the ins and outs of Warrington Middle School because it's the only school in the entire state they have to discuss at every school board meeting back and back and back and back and back.
9 years, yeah.
And so it is not... While it is fair to say he did not get much of an opportunity, he had 3 years to try to come up with a plan, and at the end of the day, he should have started negotiating with charter schools 18 months ago as plan B, and had plan C and plan D, and they had no plan. And I think that that is where, like, take the books and take the other stuff out of it. I do think there was an extreme failure of leadership on his part to get to this point and not have an idea.
And I think certainly one of the things that handicapped him along the way is he just doesn't have a forceful presence. You know, he doesn't, you know, whatever you think about their job as superintendent, Malcolm Thomas was always, you know, the leader, right? And Karen Barber is the leader. And, you know, Tim Rozdick was the leader. And, like, Tim Smith never had that presence as a communicator. And so I think that handicapped him from people's perception a lot, regardless of whether that has anything to do with his ability to be superintendent. Let's get a quick break. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
All right, the traffic light out and getting word that the whole area doesn't have power at Fairfield and Gulf Beach Highway, but I believe there's an officer there directing traffic. So it's moving pretty quickly. Unlike I-10 westbound, still a disabled 18-wheeler on the west side of the hump, westbound on the I-10 bridge. That right lane's still closed. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Since you're a teacher, I'll ask, or were a teacher for quite long. You taught, you taught in Huntsville in an inner city school, in a black school. You taught in Oklahoma?
Nevada
at an Indian reservation.
Correct.
And then you taught at Gulf Breeze High.
That's correct.
So you've seen some variety.
I've seen it all. That's right. High school for 26 years. You see a lot.
So what's kind of, Didi, what's your perspective on the changes that have been going on in laws regarding high school, the books, the curriculum, the certifications, the civics test, whatever you want to tackle? Have at it.
I don't think we're focusing on the right issues. I think, you know, this is cherry picking. And you're always going to have people that are going to we've had these arguments about books and libraries. Get more involved, you know, but one parent complaining about a book, it's silly. Get more involved with the schools. I think that what we need to do is to focus more on the causes of a lot of the problems that we see there. Poverty, mm-hmm. hunger. You know, the real problems that are affecting the schools, and no one wants to tackle them. They're difficult issues.
And I will say this, it hasn't gotten a lot of attention. I appreciate that the P&J has been putting some stuff out on it. I think WEAR as well, we talked about a little bit, but the dad's program at Pine Forest High has made a huge difference. The discipline issues have, I won't say evaporated, but dramatically gone down. You just don't hear the stories like you used to hear all the time. You know, getting some dads on campus, being a presence as a mentor, I mean, that's worked. Let's do that a bunch.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are big problems. To me, Warrington Middle is a vital issue for our community, not only because it's a middle school, not only because it's our students, but it's the middle school that all of our naval sailors feed into. And when you start getting
If they don't choice out, which they do.
If they don't choice out, but it is the one where when you come around to a BRAC or whatever they're calling it now, military quality of life is one of their highest rating things when they start deciding what we're going to shut down.
Yep.
And so Warrington Middle is different than Ransom Middle School to what it means to our greater community. And to ignore the problem because it's too hard to talk about, we don't have the option to do so, and so we need a good solution on what happens there.
And, you know, what all of the folks are saying, Tim Kinsella says it, you know, Mike Kohler says it, is you cannot assume the base and all of the pretty pieces of it that we appreciate now that we finally got it back open again, including the Blue Angels, will just be there forever because they've always been there. You have to continually earn and justify that. Jeremy Evans, Dee Dee Davis, thank you as always. You guys are great. Listen on it.